Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
True Hauntings is a Frightfully Good production.
In a quiet corner of Wilder, Kentucky, in the United States, there sits a nightclub that has been the site of murders and suicides and features a gateway to hell itself.
The experiences within this building are the stuff of legend. Even the owner's wife could not escape the wrath of the demonic energies within the building, having been a victim of their anger and was seriously injured in just one of her many encounters. Hi, I'm Renata.
And I'm Anne. And in this episode of the True Hauntings podcast, we enter through the doors of Bobby Mackey's Music World Honky Tonk Nightclub to find out how it got to be so haunted and why it continues to be a home to so many violent spirits.
Anne and Renata have been investigating paranormal occurrences for the past 20 years. They have been at the center of various unexplained phenomena and have witnessed countless ghostly experiences. The duo now turn to high-profile cases that have attracted the eyes of the world. Between the dimensions we see and the dimensions we don't, supernatural forces are at play. Evil lurks within the shadows of our homes and in the darkest corners of our minds. It follows us like a shadow. Forever. This is where nightmares become reality. This is True Hauntings.
The first employee hired at the country nightclub, a caretaker and handyman by the name of Carl Lawson. Carl told Hensley that he had had many strange experiences since he first moved into the apartment upstairs. One night, after the bar closed, Carl swept the floors and cleaned and stacked all the tables and chairs. He then walked over to the kitchen and filled a bucket with soapy water. Suddenly, he detected the unmistakable odour of rose perfume. Aware that he was in the presence of a spirit, he asked, "What the hell do you want?" Instantly, he heard a rough voice growl, "Get out!" A few seconds later, 10 glasses on top of the bar flew across the room and smashed against the wall. Bar stools began dancing and banging into each other. Incensed that all his hard work had been for nothing, Carl exclaimed, "Come out and face me!" As the echo of his angry words faded away, he felt cold hands grab him around the neck and fling him to the floor. When he regained his senses, Carl caught sight of a man with short brown hair and a hangman's noose dangling from his neck. Terrified, Carl bolted down the hallway and exploded out of the door into the parking lot. He looked up at the overhead office window and, seeing the face that had confronted him a few minutes before, Carl climbed into his Oldsmobile Cutlass and tore out of the parking lot.
Welcome to the studio, Anne, and we welcome back all of our listeners for this episode of the True Hauntings podcast.
Hidey-ho. I've had a funny little anecdote with this one, is that when we decided to do this, I just happened to see Alison and Cag, our friends from South Australia, Haunted Horizons, are actually going to this location probably right now. Oh. Isn't that bizarre?
It will be interesting to see what they find after we started to dig into this.
Yeah.
Now, didn't we sit down and say, let's do something that has loads of information.
And it'll be really easy to do.
Yeah, it'll be really easy to do.
Yeah, considering my dad's wake is today, I just wanted to do something that'd be nice and easy.
And lo and behold, no, we've opened up a can of worms in the portal to hell.
Oh, yeah, it's a good old portal to hell. I always like a portal to hell. Yes. It's a bit of fun.
Yes.
All right.
So as usual, what we do is that we research on our own. I have the history part of it and you are the debunker, or you bring up the ghost stories.
Yep.
And we talk about it.
Yeah.
I went off and did my research, found some really interesting stuff, read some books, read some stuff online, listened to a podcast or two.
And we've got to let people know we've done a quick turnaround on this. So I haven't done as much as I wanted to do, because once I found the information, I just wanted to keep digging.
Yes. Yeah. And this is a well-known one. Bobby Mackey's is quite a well-known story because of the number of TV shows that have been recorded at Bobby Mackey's and the number of people that have taken time to go and investigate for themselves. So this bar has been featured, as I mentioned, on numerous paranormal channels online.
Numerous.
And it was featured on the Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures, as well as Portals to Hell.
Oh.
With Ozzy Osbourne's son,
yes,
Jack.
Jack.
Now, it kind of really gained notoriety, and I'm kind of going to start at the end because it was the very first lockdown that the Ghost Adventures show went to.
And I remember it. And that's why I actually suggested we do that one, because I remembered this episode.
Yeah. And they say that they got a lot of activity at Bobby Mackey's. Much of it was very negative. And, of course, that just blew the show up.
Yep.
In that everyone wanted to watch it. And it came across as one of the most haunted and best locations ever.
Ever.
Ever. Ever. So let me now go to the very beginning.
A very good place to start.
And one of the first things I want to explain, especially because a lot of our listeners are from all over the world, what the hell is a honky-tonk? That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
What is a honky-tonk? So I had to look it up.
I know honky-tonk piano, slightly out of tune piano that you play sort of rag songs and that sort of tunes.
Yes.
On.
Yeah. More or less. So it's got something to do with the overall value of what it is that you're calling honky-tonk.
Yeah.
It's a little bit off, you know, a little bit
winky-wonky.
Funky, a little bit, you know.
Wibbly-wobbly.
Wibbly-wobbly. And
if you think of, you know, the song The Entertainer, da-da-da-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum, bom. You know that one?
Yeah.
That's the sort of honky-tonk you'd play on a honky-tonk piano.
Yeah, an old piano that's probably sitting in a corner somewhere. Maybe not all of the keys work.
Yeah.
You know,
they're sticky. They've had beer poured down them and maybe a poo.
And that's
it's happened to me. It's happened to me at one of the
What?
I'm sure I've told you this story.
No.
I used to be a musical director for a local amateur musical society called Metropolitan Players. And they had a piano in the main hall and they had a piano out in the smaller hall. So I used to take people out the back to rehearse their songs and things. And I walked out to the smaller room and I've gone, ooh, there's an odour in here. Where's that odour coming from? The bathroom was right next door. So I just assumed it was that. And I've gone to sit down on the piano still, and I realised it was getting smellier as I got closer. So I sort of had a sniff on the piano still and went, oh, my God, somebody has urinated on the piano stool. It's a church hall. Who does
that?
So I sort of moved that away, and then I got the just a plastic chair to sit on, and then I went to go and play the piano, and the keys were sticking. Lisa, opened up the top of the lid of the piano and I've looked inside to see a giant turd across the felts of the hammers.
You have not told me this.
Somebody has sat up and taken a dump inside the piano. I was offended and mortified. And then you're thinking, what have they done on the keys that I've just tried to play on?
Oh, no.
It was horrible. It was just horrible.
Like, was it, like, had it been there for a long time?
No, pretty fresh. I'd say they'd had a function within the last week. And I don't get it because there was a toilet right next to it.
Oh,
why would you do that? Whose mind goes, I need to do a poo. Let's open up the top of the piano and do it there.
Look,
and who was watching?
Look, it could have been a ghost because...
That didn't smell very ghostly.
We've had a story at a place in Sydney where a poo has been found in a cabinet.
Oh, Prince Henry Hospital. Yes. Listen to that podcast, everyone.
Yeah, so it could have been a ghost.
And it was warm, wasn't it, in that one? I didn't put the fingers in it to see if this one was warm.
Oh,
smelt fresh. Dear. But sorry, we have squirrel very early.
Oh. Couldn't have missed that story.
No. So right. Honky-tonk piano, off you go. It would have been classified as a honky-tonk piano, this one.
Yes, honky-tonk. That's what we were talking
about. It's a bit wibbly-wobbly and poopy.
So we are talking about Bobby Mackey's Music World, which at the moment is a nightclub and a honky-tonk, and it's located, as we said, in the opening in Wilder, Kentucky in the United States, and it is owned by country singer Bobby Mackey.
Oh, surprise.
And his wife and their daughter, and they have...
And their dog. And their cat.
And this place is a nightclub. In the early, maybe hours, late hours of the evening.
But then
it turns into a paranormal adventure playland for people who want to come in and investigate and explore all the legends, myths, stories that are connected to it. A lot of people say when they are there, they have been scratched, they have been pushed, they have heard voices, they have seen dark shadows, all of this sort of stuff.
They're all very special people.
Yeah, well... I'm not going to get into that. That's your bit. But it is promoted as the most haunted nightclub in America. And he owned this, or he took it over, I believe, in around the 1970s. Yes. A little bit further on in the late
78?
Yeah, late 1970s. But let's go back to the very beginning of what this building, because look, I've looked at this building. You can't kind of say it's stunning.
We can't talk about its architectural delights. Let's just put it like that.
It's not like a shed. It's a shed with some lean-tos.
Yeah.
And you go, I don't even know whether, okay, let's go in and have a look inside. Yeah. So, originally, let's go back in history, and in the 1850s, so more than 100 years beforehand, it was actually used as the local slaughterhouse and meat packing place.
Hmm.
So they would slaughter animals in there and...
one of your favourite places to visit.
Yeah, and process them. And
Devon.
And I think one of the biggest features, which, you know, looking at the building itself, I can't picture what it would look like inside at the time that it was a slaughterhouse. But they say that there was a huge well in the middle of the building that was dug, so that was a place that collected all the bodily, all the animal fluids.
Like blood.
Blood and
guts.
Guts, bits and pieces.
Eyeballs, anuses. Oh, no, they use those in sausages, don't they? Devon. What do they call Devon in America? Luncheon meat, I think. We call it Devon, and we put it on a sandwich with tomato sauce and a good slab of butter. It's delicious. Delicious.
Oh,
Cousin Steve would like it, I'm sure.
That's what kids in the 1960s were forced to eat
yep.
for lunch.
Oh, I have Devin's- to tell you, Devon in Australia is much more tasty than the luncheon meat in America. Oh. I just remember when I got some thinking it would be like Devon in America. I tried to peel a slice off the other slice and the amount of fat in it just would not allow me to peel the slices apart.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, I squirreled again. Right, Renata, back to you.
Yes, yes, very much so. Again, 1850s, large slaughterhouse, packing facility, and it was constructed to serve northwestern Kentucky and nearby Cincinnati, Ohio. As I also mentioned, on the lowest part of the building, there was a well that was dug so that it could hold blood, guts, and waste from the slaughtered animals.
It had a tunnel that apparently sort of sluiced out to the river.
Because it was very close to the Licking River.
It licked that right up. Mm. It's good burly, though. You imagine the fish, they'd be out there gobbling that stuff up.
Now, the slaughterhouse worked for about 40 years. That was a big well, I'll tell you. Mm.
Put a cow down that.
You could. Or a person. The building was left vacant for a number of years after that. Well, that's what everyone thought, that it was left vacant. But, of course, you know, any old buildings like that that have such a history, there tends to be already a mythology that gets built up, especially for those people that might be on the edge of society. And
that's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, on the edge of society and those looking for a cheap thrill. So the story goes that there were satanistic rituals that were held on the spot. There were people going out there at night to scare each other, or lovers.
That's a good way to consummate your love, isn't it?
Oh, darling,
I know a nice well where there's blood and guts. Let's go down there.
Even though it was empty, I'd say at night frequently, if you saw lights flashing on inside there, you just didn't go in. You left whoever.
They're very romantic and wild in Kentucky. Yeah.
But then we had a big story come up associated with the building, and that was in 1896, and that was the murder of Pearl Bryan. And she was a 22-year-old little gorgeous lady.
She was.
And she was from a small town called Greencastle, Indiana. And this actually made headlines all around the region. So this is a true story.
It is.
And Pearl's body, all except for the head, was discovered across the road from this place, from the slaughterhouse, less than 2 miles from it, in a field.
Did you hear about her sister?
No.
She actually came from quite a big family, and her sister's name was Belle. This is not a joke. This is real. And I found this little story in the Topeka. It said, Mrs. Belle Yates is in a critical condition as the result of being caught in a folding bed.
Oh.
She is completely paralyzed and no hope of her recovery is expressed. Besides suffering fatal spine injuries, Mrs. Yates was nearly smothered before aid reached her. What sort of folding beds did they have back then?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
It's like a rabbit trap snapped together.
I can't even comprehend how that would happen. So she did sadly pass from her injuries, which is the bed was a large one of the oak variety and had shelves and drawers for books. It stood on 4 large casters, but in some way 2 of them had been removed in the afternoon. Mrs. Yates had hardly got into the bed when it overbalanced owing to the absence of the 2 casters. The head of the bed fell flat on the floor and the lower part of the bed came over on top of it and swung shut, pinioning the unfortunate woman inside.
Oh.
Wow. So it's not... I was thinking it was a folding bed, like, you know how we used to have fold-out beds that visitors could sleep on? The bed folded up.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, poor darling. What a way to go. Sorry.
Back to Pearl.
I've squirreled.
Back to Pearl.
You're welcome.
At 22 years old, she had some friends who wanted her to visit. And, of course, so she came to visit some friends on the way. And during that time, she met some fellows, Scott and Alonzo, who were friends. And she had, at some stage, a bit of a dalliance mm-hmm. with one of them. And she found out that she was pregnant. Now, the story kind of really takes a twist from here. So please be aware that we are going to be mentioning some things that, you know, are pretty graphic and quite sad, especially if you've have any sort of post-traumatic stress with regard to pregnancy and losing a child.
Yes.
So just be aware. This is recorded as historical fact, so
yes.
We do know that this actually happened. Scott didn't want Pearl to have this baby. They were in a relationship, but, you know, having a baby wasn't going to be something that, as far as Scott was concerned, was going to be in the mix. Pearl obviously really wanted, she was probably a good Christian woman and, you know, couldn't have been that good
if she's had a bit of a woohoo beforehand.
Yeah,
she's been a naughty girl.
These things happen. And, you know, she really, you know, didn't want to do this. So
no, it would be really against
her. Yeah, they were working out ways on how to get Pearl unpregnant and for her to have an abortion. So they kind of suggested a couple of things. They wanted her to take cocaine. They thought that might be able to get her to miscarry. And they also wanted her to take a concoction of ergot, which was going to also have the miscarriage happen.
Mm-hmm.
She was quite pregnant by that stage. I think she was about 5 months
pregnant. Yep.
Which, you know, was going to be really difficult. Now, the thing was that she didn't want to do either of those things. She was just adamant that it wasn't going to happen. Long story short, she was given cocaine.
Which was available freely back then.
Yeah, from the pharmacies.
Yep. A large amount of it too.
Mm-hmm. And the two men took her off and as she was under the influence of cocaine, they tried to
dislodge the fetus.
Yes. Yeah, give her an abortion.
Yeah.
Now he Scott was a dental student.
Yes.
So just kind of mentioning that he probably thought that he could do it in a way where she didn't feel anything and that possibly...
Wrong end of the body that he normally works on.
You know, if he could just sort of get
not,
this...
Not all orifices are the same.
Yeah, get this done.
One has teeth, one doesn't.
But it went wrong. It went awry. Who would have thought? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they tried to get it to Cincinnati first. So I'm just going to say that. They did try to get it to Cincinnati to see someone, but that never happened. And after the cocaine thing she was dead. So what do you do? They freaked out. Okay, what do we do? We've got to get rid of this body. This is now just gone nuts. And these two guys are going, how do we do this? They ended up considering that the best thing to do was to get rid of her body, but to decapitate it, to remove the head so that no one could recognize who this person was or had been.
They weren't real bright, were they?
No. So they threw her body into the field, mm-hmm. 2 miles from Bobby Mackey's,
mm-hmm.
and they took the head and disposed of it. And to this day, no one knows where the head went.
Yeah.
So
do you know they even offered them a plea that if they would reveal where her head had gone, they would change the sentence from execution to life,
mm.
and they still would not reveal where the head was.
Yeah.
Or they claimed they didn't know because they didn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. They were both executed on March the 20th, 1897 for the crime. Now, in just after that, there was a cafe that was built on the spot. There's more story, but you're going to go a little bit more into that.
Yep.
A cafe was built on the spot of Bobby Mackey's, and it became an illegal gambling joint, and there was also illegal booze that was sold there. And it became,
I must have been during Prohibition, was
yeah,
it?
Yes, it became...
speakeasy.
Yeah, speakeasy, and owned by a gentleman called Ernest Brady to begin with. This came beforehand. Yep, sorry. That's me.
That is you.
So people... knew that it was a place of ill repute and that things were going on there. It was kind of owned by the mafia. Multiple murders were committed there. No questions were ever asked by the police. So the police may have been paid off. Don't know. Maybe not. Don't know. So I'm not going to say. But the local police kind of just would drive past or not drive anywhere there at all. Bodies were dumped also from the murders that were committed there. No one asked any questions. And in 1993, Ernest Brady took over the place and made it into a cafe and turned it into a successful casino.
Mm.
Now,
he had the nickname of Buck.
Yes.
Buck Brady.
Yes. And he called it the Primrose. Oh, what a lovely name.
That's such a sweet name.
Yes. Now, he was actually pressured to sell it to the Latin Quarter, and the mafia took over there. In the 1950s, it was a very strong gambling den until about 1961, about 11 years, until the locals kind of said, look, this is getting beyond ridiculous.
Beyond right? a joke.
It's getting beyond a joke here. You have to step in. This is the law enforcement and do something about it. So eventually they did, and they closed the club down. Brady didn't know what to do after that. And maybe, look, he took his own life in 1965. I dare say he probably had a lot of secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he was being coerced to maybe tell some of his secrets or whatever it was, he ended up taking his own life, as I said, in 1965. But before he did, he cursed the location.
Oh.
He said, this ended my life. This was not what I had intended. We probably wanted to go off and live the life of luxury for whatever. Mm-hmm. Someone put the hard word on him. And so, he did take his own life. But did he? Or, was there a reason?
Or was it a mafia hit?
Yeah. Was there a reason for that?
We're not saying it was. Please don't come and get us.
No. No. While it was called the Latin Quarter in the 1950s, there was a dalliance again between the nightclub owner's daughter and a singer. So Joanna, the nightclub owner's daughter, so Ernest's daughter, fell in love with a singer, Robert Randell, who performed there again.
Oh boy, did he perform.
Yeah. Again, she got pregnant and she wanted to run off with the young singer, but her father said, no, you are not. And he used his criminal connections to have the singer killed.
Oh, that's a bit over the top.
This is karma coming back to him, isn't
it? Yeah, wow.
And so when Joanna discovered what had happened, she then went and poisoned her father, which is a little bit of a different story to him taking his own life. And then she took her own life in the basement of the building.
Yeah. In the same place where Pearl Bryan had been murdered more than 50 years ago, apparently.
Apparently.
Ooh. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yes. So after that, in the 1970s, it became a Hard Rock Cafe. And not the Hard Rock Cafe that you see in all the, big capital cities around the world where they have a nice burger restaurant.
Yeah, when we were in
Amsterdam.
Well, there was Amsterdam and was it Germany or Prague? We were so close to the Hard Rock Cafes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was Prague. Yeah.
Yeah, so, not one of those Hard Rock cafes where you go in and you see the museum.
They do nice
stuff
fajitas
and everything
in there. I like
nice
their
food and everything. This was a Hard Rock cafe.
For the Australians, that's fajitas.
Where they had bands come in.
I'm trying.
Bands come in that, you know, really sing loud.
Yeah.
And they have long hair.
Hard rock.
Yeah, hard rock. Think of the 70s and 80s people. Yeah. And then in 1978, Bobby Mackie and his wife Janet bought the place. Now, Bobby Mackie was quite a talented country singer and he had performed all over the place. And he kind of was a local. He was a small town boy who was very down to earth. And
I'm hearing the lyrics for songs. It's just a small town boy.
Very down to earth. And he kind of just decided that this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to start his own honky-tonk bar.
Is this another one of these locations where they call in, the spirits call in the owner that they want to take care of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Bobby was quite skeptical, so, you know, he probably heard a lot of these stories, but he made nothing of it. He didn't believe in ghosts. And when things started to happen, and as you said, this fella who kind of came in at some point within within the first couple of days, Carl appeared, Carl Lawson. And he kind of, you know, said, he was only about 20 or so, and he kind of said, look, I've been hanging around Bobby Mackie's for a while. I know the ins and outs of this place. So if you want any help, I'm here. Mm. I'm here and I can help you. And he was taken on straight away. Bobby went, this is a really good idea. Yep, come on in. We'll get you to do all the odd jobs and everything. And this is when Janet started to have weird stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of weird stuff and a lot of stuff that wasn't very nice. She came under attack, and at one point in time she was pushed down the stairs and almost lost her baby. Again, a pregnant woman. So it's three pregnant women being attacked.
And she was 5 months pregnant.
Yes.
The same amount of months.
And they had to actually...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's words there somewhere, but they will eventually come out. If you could see the eyes, eyes are rolling back into her palace, trying to find the correct words to tell you.
She had to actually give birth, so she gave birth early, prematurely. That's what I want to say. Baby did survive, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yes, all of these things that are like multiple connections over the years.
It's a great story, doesn't it?
That are starting to line up. So they took over. Bobby still owns the place. They're all still there. Janet kind of said that after her experiences, she was never going to walk in there again. But yes, this is where we're up to. We are up to the now, the present moment. And there's a page. Bobby Mackey's is a Facebook page. Yep. They have singers coming in. They're doing a great job in there. Place is full all the time. The nightclub's ripping and roaring.
We've got Australians popping in.
Yeah, and ghost hunters are coming in more and more to this place.
Yeah. Oh, my turn?
Your turn.
Oh. Well, first off, I wanted to start off by saying that the soundscape that I used was from a book, which I'm just trying to grab it, called Haunted Kentucky Ghosts and Strange Phenomena of the Bluegrass State by Alan Brown. And I remember when I went to America, how many years ago was it now? It's probably about 9 years ago. That'd be more. There was our friends who were traveling with us, Jason and Julie, and Jason has since passed. When we left them, they went to Bobby Mackey's to do an investigation. They hired the place to themselves.
Oh, did they?
They did, and they did their own investigation. And they were telling me that the country of Kentucky is beautiful, stunning, and the rolling grass. He said there is no words to describe how beautiful it was. They didn't get anything at the time, but, they really enjoyed the experience. So I thought what I might do is start with a really good, solid base of information to tell us about some of the things that have happened at this bar. So when you want to get good, solid information, we go to the Travel Channel. So here is some of the paranormal activity and speculation surrounding Bobby Mackey's. Some still believe the building's basements hold the gateway to or portal to hell itself, which is, again, as you said, the reference to the slaughterhouse that was there. There's stairs near the well in the old slaughterhouse that have been deemed the stairs that lead to nowhere, and phantom footsteps can often be heard on these stairs. So I'd say that was from the time when it was remodeled, because at one stage the whole place was actually demolished and all that was left was the well and the base area of the slaughterhouse, and they rebuilt on top of it, supposedly.
You'd think they'd do a better job.
Yeah. So there's now still going on with the Travel Channel and its font of information. Some believe that spirits can't cross flowing water. So the rare northern current of the Licking River may be keeping the dark forces trapped inside the building. Maybe they don't realise it can go a different way, but that's okay. The former caretaker that lived in the apartment upstairs claims to have been demonically possessed by the spirits.
That's Carl.
His exorcism was performed in the club by a minister.
What?
He was exorcised.
In a nightclub.
I wonder if it was a show. Did they sell tickets for that?
I would have gone.
It was performed. See, performed in the club?
Oh, no.
I'm playing on words here. A patron claims to experience suffocating heat. I bet they were a 50-year-old lady. A flying trash can, and a man with a handlebar mustache repeating, die game, apparently, which is Latin for dying well or dying good. I don't know why a cowboy with a mustache handlebar would be speaking in Latin.
He was possessed as well.
He was in the men's loo, the restroom. Bobby's wife claims to have been overcome by the scent of roses in the basement, grabbed around the waist, picked up, thrown down, pushed down the stairs by a force that resembles sketches of Alonzo Walling screaming, get out. And she refuses to set foot in that club again.
So Alonzo is one of the two young guys connected with Pearl.
Pearl, correct. Bobby Mackey claims not to be a believer, but he did write a song entitled Johanna, about the young girl who committed suicide in the basement in the 1950s. And I think, if I remember correct, Jolene, the Dolly Parton song, was also related to that as well.
Oh, okay.
I might be speaking out my ass there. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Bobby Mackey's friend Doug Hensley wrote the book Hell's Gate. Now, that was, I think it came out in 2001, and that's when everything blew up about the stories associated with Bobby Mackey's.
I tried to get a copy of
so did
that,
I.
But time was not our friend.
Historic photos of Pearl Bryan match witnesses description of a headless ghost dressed in turn-of-the-century clothing, and photos of Buck Brady. Now, he was the former...
Ernest.
The person who owned the club, also matches description of ghosts that have been seen on the premises.
Yeah.
So people have identified it. They've held up the photo and said, was this one of the ghosts you saw? Oh, yes, it was. I'm special. I'm sorry, I've
poor Pearl didn't have a head. How do you recognise her?
She couldn't speak for herself. Or did they just hold the photo up and put their thumb over the head and say, do you recognise her?
Oh, poor Pearl.
Poor Pearl.
I want to talk to Pearl.
Yeah. Hot spots in the club include the spotlight room and the catwalk over the stage, the well in the basement, the old china room, and the platform area near the kitchen. That's the ones who didn't get a cup of coffee. That's where Renata would haunt.
Oh, would.
Those places where there's no kettle in the room and we
and
have to suffer.
And they've got international roast. I'd be haunting that place.
People have also claimed to see ghosts in the big pitted mirror in the main room. The club manager claims that on several occasions she would go through the club and make sure everything was turned off and closed down for the night. Then hours later, she'd find that the bar lights were on, the front doors were unlocked, the jukeboxes playing, the anniversary waltz.
Oh.
Now, apparently that song is quite pertinent to the story of Bobby Mackey's, and that's the one that's, oh, how we danced on the night we were wed. Yes, I used to play it in the band I was in. And another club employee has seen a dark, very angry man behind the bar, and a spirit who called herself Johanna, who would often speak to him and leave the scent of roses in her wake. Well, that's the summary. But I've done a little digging, as you do. But before I dig too deep, you do know that I like to do some TripAdvisor reviews.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
I do like a TripAdvisor review. What have we got? Oh, did you know that they, on Friday and Saturday nights at Bobby Mackey's, they run ghost tours on the hour?
Wow.
It's that popular.
It's that popular.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And according to their website, they offer 2-hour guided tours guided by a private, we offer 2-hour guided tours, private group investigations and public event hostings. On the 2-hour tour, they take you around all the accessible buildings of the area. They provide you with the history of the location, reported paranormal activity. So it is a tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You can take some small handheld equipment, but you don't get the opportunity to
investigate.
Mm-hmm. The cost is $35 per person, and a group of 4 or more people will be $30 per person.
Sounds like fun.
And you will pay cash upon arrival. They do not offer any sort of machine that you can... All right, they also offer a 5-hour investigation for up to 12 people for $650. So, I mean, I suppose we could just go and book out the place and go for our lives. Anyway, let's get on to the review. This was at gatekeeperparanormal.com. She was there. This is Jessica. She was there on the 7th of January 2018. I had the best time ever in my life. I had wanted to go to Bobby Mack's for almost 10 years, ever since I seen it on Ghost Adventures. I love to visit haunted places. Everyone there was nice. My fella got me a pic of Bobby, and after the tour of the basement, I wanted to get it autographed. The tour guide told him I was a fan, and I went in the green room with my fella, Tuso Bobby. He is one of the nice Ed people in the world. his, like his, been his friend forever. I will come back, believe me. Love the music and love the friendless.
Nice.
But, you know, there's more. Moving on to TripAdvisor, this is October 2019. So obviously they've had a bit of a break in the middle there because of the restrictions that the big C Miss Rona, we'll have to call it, because otherwise we they stop sharing your video or your audio around if you use that other word.
Mm-hmm.
So this was October 2019. We had fun, did not experience anything paranormal. Our guide was Angie. And she was terrific. I hope I'm going to get time to talk more about Angie. She told us all the history reports. It definitely smells like wet, rotting wood. But the tour is great if you're into ghost hunting. It's a very creepy, huge building. I kept thinking of seeing stuff. But we were able to debunk car lights or our equipment reflecting off surfaces. It was just the three of us in the whole building. And to me, it felt like we're being watched. My hubby said he didn't feel anything. Good hubbies. All right. We went, this is another one. We went around the back and outside to the basement entrance. And on entering, you really want to know how the building is still standing.
Exactly.
The walls are crumbling, brick and concrete. This is where they shoot the beer bottles down, shoots into 55-gallon drums all night. There are about 8 to 10 drums full already. There were, now this is in inverted commas, faces, the wall of faces, which is water seeping through the decaying concrete in different formations.
Oh my God.
The dressing rooms are former performers with a red light on to add mystery with the dying rose in a vase.
Oh.
Vase. Hell's Gate is a hole in the floor that is falling in. It's supposed to be the slaughterhouse room where they hung and bled the cows. It is said to empty into the river, but is now capped to keep the river from flooding the basement. Pros, definitely do the half-hour paranormal tour if one wants to learn the history of the place and all the tragedies that have occurred, drinking specials, mechanical bulls, billiards, and plenty of seating to listen to the entertainment. Cons. The paranormal guide talks throughout the whole time, so doing EVP sessions was a bust. But definitely take pictures with your camera or phone. Also, the lights are on during the ghost tour, so capturing photos of things, looking for things to move or shadow people in the background will be difficult. And I was disappointed that we couldn't stand in areas with the lights off for a few minutes to see if anything would occur.
Aww. Gee.
Yeah. But I mean, that's some good little bits and pieces there. But now I think it's time to dive into the nitty gritty. Now, when I'm researching this stuff, I always try to find that nugget of gold. And I remember the Ghost Adventures show, and I didn't even bother looking up to see the phenomena they got. I remember Aaron or Nick or somebody or Zach running screaming from the bathroom because something had happened in there. And there was a lot of screaming and running. And go back and have a look at it, guys. It's really quite funny to see them so early on mm-hmm. in the season.
Mm.
But I found this book, now I've just got to find the name. Okay, it's called Paranormal Fakemore Nevermore, Real Histories of Haunted Locations by Shannon Bradley Byers, Paranormal Genealogist Publishing, and it was done in 2017. And basically what happened is that she was watching the episode of Ghost Adventures and she heard them starting to talk about the Pearl Bryant's case at Bobby Mackey's. And she thought, oh, okay. She's done a whole heap of research on Pearl. She knows all about Pearl's story.
Mm-hmm.
And they started to recount the story of what happened to Pearl. And apparently she started to swear quite loudly at the television set because there may have been a few furfies.
No.
Really? No. Fancy that. So she's saying that they may have distorted some of the facts. And it is true that Pearl was murdered. Absolutely. Yes, she was pregnant by Scott Jackson. And there is all this talk that apparently Jackson and Walling were affiliated with a satanic cult. And they beheaded Pearl and used her head in sacrificial ritual, which was said to have taken place in the basement well of Bobby Mackey's Music World.
Yeah, look, I also read that in one account, and I left that out because I wanted to just read the facts about Pearl, but that line gets blurred really quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, so she did her research. And she went back in history, and let me tell you, this person has done really good research. She's gone back through newspaper articles, and she was the one that found a story about the, I think it was her, the sister being folded up in the bed, or that might have been the haunted Kentucky. But I think if there was any satanic cults in the area at that time, now, when was Pearl murdered? In the 50s? I think it was. I think that would be gossip, and I think it would be known. But the satanic cults didn't really kick off that much till the 70s, weren't they? So there is no evidence whatsoever of a satanic cult being in that area at all. Now, the murder itself occurred on John Locke's farm in Fort Thomas, Kentucky, not Bobby Mackey's World. I've got to get the next bit. There's also a story about bloodhounds that were brought out to track Pearl's scent, and the scent was tracked to the slaughterhouse. There was a story about Scott stood on the scaffold and threatened to come back and haunt everyone. Not true. She's actually had written here what he said. I'll find that for you in a second. There are also many other things that did not happen on the property, and one of them really quite surprised me. That she's not saying that the place is not haunted. She believes it really could be haunted, but not by the entities that they're reporting. So not long after the Civil War, the area was known as Finchtown, and was then called Gallows Gap because of an illegal lynching place that took that happened nearby. So there could be hauntings in the area from about 20 people that were illegally lynched. There was a bridge collapse a quarter of a mile from the property where 39 people died in 1892. So why aren't people talking about those spooks? Why aren't they talking about these ghosts? They weren't pregnant, obviously.
Didn't fit the narrative.
No. There is, if you look at the map of Finchtown, and she did put that map of Finchtown there, it shows that the slaughterhouse was located in the southwest part of town, not where Bobby Mackey's Music World stands today.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. So there was a local resident, apparently, that had a small butchery, like the one that we went to in Germany, that may have been on that area. No, I'm getting my facts muddled up there. So it was several hundred feet south of there and not even a commercial slaughterhouse. It was a small home operated by a local butcher to serve the local residents, like the German one. So where did that information come from?
Yes.
In 1876, Robertson, George Robertson built the distillery, applied for three tunnels under the railway from the distillery to Licking River, and these were used to pump water into the structure for distilling processes. All three of these tunnels are still in existence, and one of them is what has been deemed the Well to Hell. So there was no blood, guts, and cow carcasses going down there. It was water for a distillery. I hate my job sometimes. I really do. So There's no satanic cults coming because they're drawn to the blood and guts and everything of the world to hell.
Mm-hmm.
There is not even a slaughterhouse on there. When the two men were hanged, as I promised, I would tell you what their last words would be. It wasn't that, they're going to curse the place. Neither of them gave the crowd the evil eye. And Scott Jackson didn't even remotely say anything like, he's going to curse the town. So this is the quote. Jackson was described as standing erect and playing the part of an actor. Walling trembled with his eyes downcast. At that point, Jackson was again asked if he had anything to say. An eyewitness said Jackson hesitated fully 2 moments before he replied. Before he spoke, Walling turned expectantly, evidently believing Jackson would speak the words that would save his life, even while he stood on the brink of death. Walling half turned around, and he stood in that position with an appealing expression on his face, while Jackson, without looking at him, upturned his eyes and replied, "I have only this to say, that I am not guilty of the crime for which I am now compelled to pay the penalty of my life." So when Walling was asked, he said, "Nothing, only that you are taking the life of an innocent man, and I will call upon God to witness the truth of what I say."
Right.
No one that reads the stories from any newspaper in the narration in 1896 or 97 will find the word haunt, satanic cult, or slaughterhouse. Hang on, so they're the late 1800s. Pearl was mm-hmm. back that far. It was
yes.
Joanna, which was the 1951s. My apologies. So there definitely wasn't going to be satanic cults happening. They had their hellfire clubs and those naughty things in Ireland and England.
It wasn't an American thing.
No. modern-day stories about Scott and Alonzo, apparently they were saying things like he was the Prince of Liars, but who knows? Who knows what really happened? Now, I'm going to go into some gruesome facts about Pearl and what happened to her. So, as you said, they concocted this story. They were going to go to a different town, and she was going to go visit a friend or something, but the plan was they were going to try and get rid of the baby. They actually approached a doctor,
mm-hmm.
and they said no. They did try to drug her with cocaine. They mixed some other things, as you said. Her autopsy showed that she ingested a substantial amount of drugs shortly before the death. The cocaine didn't work as they'd planned, and they hired a black man by the name of George Jackson to drive a carriage that they had rented. And when George testified later, he said that the female he never seen the face of was alive during the trip. She was alive.
Yes, she was.
George came forward to tell them about what happened. He said that he got scared because he could hear her moaning in the back of the carriage and pulled over at the distillery on Licking Pike. It's the closest Pearl that ever came to Bobby Mackey's. Not the distillery that was at the Bobby Mackey's. Refused to go any further, but stated that Alonzo jumped into the driver's seat with him and pulled out a gun, forcing him by saying, "You black bastard, if you try to jump out of here, I'll send you to hell." So they dragged poor old Pearl out of the carriage, and George ran off at that stage, damaging the lantern. Now, that came back later because they examined the carriage and found that the lantern was damaged. So mm-hmm. that was proved that supposedly Hugh's story was true.
Mm-hmm.
But they cut off her head, but the mistake they made was they left her shoes on her feet. And she was recognised because of her shoes.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that bizarre? Pearl's body was discovered on the Lock Farm the next morning minus her head. They said that she was alive when she was decapitated. At the crime scene, there was arterial spray found on leaves as high as 3 feet.
Wow.
And the ground was soaked with blood. Oh, dear. Yeah.
Well, they were going through arteries, obviously. So.
But get this. This is what really disturbed me even more than that. Mobs of people swarmed the area looking to take anything for the scene as a keepsake, including bloody leaves.
Mm. Yeah.
Entrepreneurs set up vendor stands in the area selling things as well. Pearl's Murder Pearl's Murder made a lot of money.
What?
And still does to this day. Yes. At Bobby Mackey's. Her unborn 5-month-old fetus, I'm sorry, everyone, ended up in a jar that held peppermint sticks at the drugstore for people to pay to look at.
What? Oh, that's horrible.
I have to tell you guys, I didn't get any further than this story. I know there's the whole Joanna story as well and all the other stories of the exorcism. I got this far and I've just gone, what the hell? I just thought it was so important to tell her story, and I really thank the person that wrote this book. Yeah, so that was the story of Pearl. At the end of her story, and this is a great book. I'm going to actually buy the book. I just found this on Scribe, but I would like to buy this book and support Shannon Byers because I think it's just really well done. Mementos of Pearl were being given away as late as 1903 when the shoe company that manufactured the shoes that identified her gave away pieces of the cutting board that made them to several hundred employees.
I mean, that's dragging the bottom of the ocean. That really is. It's like, she walked past this place, so let's pick up some dirt and put it in a jar and sell that. Poor Pearl.
Yeah. And look, this person is saying that, she believes that Pearl probably is haunting somewhere.
Yeah.
But why would she be at Bobby Mackey's?
Yeah.
There is no reason for her to be there. Would you guys like us to do a second episode on the rest of the stories of Bobby Mackey's? Would you like us to do some more digging and look at the other alleged hauntings? I had to wrap it up there. I literally was running out of time, as we are today.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a rather hectic week.
Let's go further.
You want to go further? Okay.
Let's go further, Anne, and let's do a second episode because this justifies episode number 2.
Okay.
It really does because this story did suck me in.
Yeah.
It opened up a portal for sure, but it wasn't a portal to hell. It was a portal to the truth of what's going on. It's really funny because, in many cases, those that go and do these ghost tours and everything are just like those people that went to see the body in the lolly jar.
Yeah.
We're looking for...
But I have to tell you, I probably would go look at that too because I've got a macabre interest in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't make up stories about it. I wouldn't tell furfies and disrespect the honour of these people. But I'm just going to finish off my little part here with a quote from the book. A lot of money has been brought in since a book published in 2001 made the first untrue claim that had been a place of satanic worship in the 1800s. This started a snowball effect that continues to get bigger every day. Patrons and paranormal investigators have had lies that line the pockets of parastars, book publishers and TV producers shoved down their throats for decades. It makes me wonder why the majority of people seem to care so little for the truth of what actually happened. So that's a quote.
Yeah.
That's not me saying that, so don't come sue me. But yeah, all right. We'll do an episode 2, hopefully for next week. We'll see how we go.
Mm-hmm.
The rabbit hole goes deeper. But in the meantime, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to show your appreciation for the work we've done, please consider buying us a cup of coffee. Buy Me a Coffee, Anne and Renata. If you just search that, you'll find it. We've got things to do now, so thank you for being with us. Share the podcast around. We love doing this work, and we thank all the people who have sent beautiful condolences messages. I really appreciate it so much. Guys, we'll see you on the dark side.
Don't forget to be frightfully good and don't be a dickhead.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of True Hauntings. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. For more on Anne and Renata, follow at Anne and Renata on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or visit their website, www.anneandrenata.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.